You're listening to The Zone with Jason Anderson, presented by CC Power Sports of Louisville on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Big shout out and thanks to UPS Jobs Baptist Health Sports Medicine, fueled by Kroger, delivered by Papa John's. Our coverage down here at the Final Four, or up here, I should say, Final Four, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Games coming up at 3:30 on Friday. We wrap up the show on this Thursday edition. And what do we got? Producers tonight, maybe? I don't know, Magic. What do we got tonight on the docket? We got producers heading our way tonight. Are you guys on?
Negative.
Thank
it's
God.
Bonus hour until 6:30.
Oh, that's right.
Reds pregame starting at 6:35 right here on 680 and 105.7.
Like I said, we got Reds baseball tonight after we are over. Right now getting an opportunity to talk with Clark Kellogg, who's a obviously a big part of the NCAA tournament. You see him throughout the tournament and all these games. We welcome in here to ESPN 680. Clark, how are you, sir?
I'm great, Jason. Good to be with you, man. This is such a tremendous blessing and gift to be able to be getting ready for my 23rd Final Four in some capacity as an analyst. And it always delivers, this tournament. It never disappoints. And I'm excited for these teams that are here for the first time in their history, in Auburn and Texas Tech, and then the three coaches for the first time getting to this point. Virginia's Tony Bennett and Chris Beard from Texas Tech and Bruce Pearl from Auburn. So a lot of neat storylines, and hopeful that the games will come close to matching what we had regional final weekend, which was quite good.
That was amazing, right?
Yeah, it really
People have talked about it a lot, that maybe that was the best one.
Yeah, you know what? On Twitter, some folks pulled up a couple of other years. I think 2005, I don't recall the exact matchups, was one other one that was mentioned. And I think maybe 2010 had similar drama on regional final weekend, but clearly this will be in that conversation this past weekend that we enjoyed.
I mean, a couple of overtime games.
Individual performance by
Carson Edwards.
It
was just phenomenal.
Yes,
people had talked about Steph Curry in the four games that he played and went to the Elite Eight, and they end up losing to Kansas in 2008.
That was 2008.
Yeah, in
Kansas
San Antonio.
Won it. Yeah.
That was what it's like. Bill Self finally broke through, then won it.
Yeah, right.
It's like he beat a 16-9, I think a 14-10 to get there.
Hey, you got
to
beat who's in front of you, man.
But then he won the only all number one seed.
That's right.
Final
that's right.
Four
that's
ever.
Exactly right.
So
that's right.
He may have had a you know, quote unquote easier path, but he had to earn it once you get there.
Anybody that wins the championship has earned it some way or another.
But we were talking to somebody earlier this week that wrote about how Carson Edwards' performance surpassed Steph Curry's performance in that 08, and he was like, we got a lot of pushback. Like, people were like, what are you talking about? How could you possibly say that? I'm like, well, he scored like 20 more points than Steph, you know?
And then he set a record for made threes too, right? In the four games.
He set a record for an entire tournament and he did it in four games.
Right,
so
his
performance was just simply amazing. And them in overtime. It is also crazy in the game of basketball. You've been around it your whole life that, you know, we look at this weekend and we say Texas Tech, Michigan State, Virginia, and Auburn, and a bounce of the basketball here or there, we could be saying Texas Tech, Duke, Purdue, and Kentucky.
Yeah, great call. And that could be the case for many tournaments, I think, when you talk about how teams get to the Final Four, how they get to a championship game. The line is so thin in the one-and-done format of the tournament that a ball bouncing one way or another, a free throw missed, a key turnover at the wrong time, ends up costing you a chance to move on. But that's the nature and beauty of the tournament. You've got to be really good, and you've got to be a bit fortunate at times too.
How much fortune do you think there is? That's been a debate this week.
Yeah, you know what? I think the vast majority of it is performance at the end of the day. There are times when the ball bounces your way or you get the benefit of a call, but that's just part of the game. I don't think you could put a specific number on it. I just think it happens in the course of a 115-120 possession game between the two teams, you know, that sometimes a play here or there could make a difference. When you look at these teams, obviously Auburn was one bucket away from not advancing out of the first round.
That's
I mean,
point,
New Mexico
yeah.
State had a shot, a wide open three that didn't go down that would have eliminated Auburn.
Or even may have had a layup to
tie it.
And or free throws.
Question. So all of that stuff comes into play. And heck, in that one of those great games that Purdue played in, was it the Tennessee game?
Tennessee blew the lead and then won an
overtime.
But
they both missed, they missed a ton of free throws. I think between the two teams there were like 35, 31, 32 free throws missed. And so that could have gone either way.
Yeah.
I mean, when you consider both teams were abysmal from the line in that one. They made a bunch of threes, but they missed almost half of the free throws they took.
Yeah, Kentucky fans lamenting the free throw struggles on Sunday against Auburn, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it all comes in. What goes in the wash comes out in the rinse, and free throws is a big part of that when you're talking about winning one or two possession games.
Do you do the laundry at the Kellogg House?
I did for a long time. When our kids were younger, I was in charge of that. My wife didn't care for it. So whatever makes a household work, it doesn't have to be gender or role specific,
right.
And I didn't mind keeping the laundry hampers empty and getting them folded up. So, yeah, I did it pretty much the whole time when our kids were younger.
I don't like the laundry.
Well, there you go.
I do the dishes. I'll take care of that, but I can't stand the laundry.
There are a lot of different things you can hang your hat on when you've got a household.
Clark Kellogg is our guest on ESPN 680 105.7. The tournament the first couple of weekends, or the first weekend, I should say, the first couple of rounds, people were – you know, you could say underwhelmed with the results and the upsets and Cinderellas. My view is I like drama. So some people like Cinderellas. That's fine. I like drama even if it comes down to the wire. Uh-huh. It's fun if there's some Cinderellas.
Yeah.
But when we don't have that, it sets up the second weekend of the 16 and Elite Eights like we had. And that's, as a basketball fan, I love to see those matchups and the really, really talented, well-coached teams that are going up against each other and throwing haymakers back and forth, and I think that's what we got. So we may not have been satisfied with the first weekend, but I think the second weekend far outweighed and made up for that, we got.
You know, I look at the tournament in its entirety, and I accept whatever it gives us because it's always good.
Yeah.
And it's a matter of personal preference as to what you would like to – meets your fancy, whether it's upsets early and then potential Cinderellas that may have a chance to go all the way to the Final Four or be eliminated after one or two wins, or higher seeds prevailing in most of the early matchups so that you do get some of these blockbuster-type Sweet 16 and regional finals. Yeah. And we've had, in the years that I've been part of the tournament, we've had everything from one end to the other. And so I accept it as it comes because, again, it always delivers in terms of drama, excitement, surprises. I mean, you look at the teams that are here now. You've got a 5 seed, a 1 seed, a 2 seed, and a 3 seed. The 5 seed is perhaps the most surprising, and I would say the 3 seed is probably the next most surprising in terms of how they got here and how they had played, wondering if they could get on this kind of run. So, again, the surprises are guaranteed to happen. You often don't know where they're going to come from, though.
And I think this tournament, or this Final Four this year, Clark Kellogg is our guest, it also, you know, kind of emphasizes a couple things. One, there's good basketball played all over the country in a lot of different places. There's really good coaches across the country in a lot of different places. And you can also win many different ways.
Yes.
You know, people have pointed out there's the one-and-dones aren't here. Like the Zion, the RJ, you know, Keldon Johnson, those guys aren't in the tournament. You know, we don't have a lot of those guys that are here. This is maybe more experienced teams and things like that. But you also have Michigan State that's going to be more traditional in their tempo. Texas Tech and Virginia want to beat you down and beat you up. Mm-hmm. And Auburn wants to run.
Yeah.
And
and
they're sitting here in the Final Four, and it's got, you got like three or four different ways of playing. And so, you know, so many different ways to build a program. I do love that about the tournament, too, that this Final Four does sort of emphasize that there's so many different ways you can build a program, and there's not one specific way. And there's also not one specific way that you say, well, Tony Bennett, that can't work in the tournament.
Great
that
point.
We've said for a few years.
Great point. Yeah, and you talk about building a team and getting to the point where you're playing in the Final Four, different styles, different ways to get to that point. One and done is really a small percentage of the players in the game.
Yeah.
And they typically are at the power conference schools. It's rare that you see a one-and-done or two-and-done type player at a non-Power 5 conference school. And so we've often said, and it's been proven, that talent is supreme in being able to make a tournament run. You need really good talent. Yeah. But right next to that, or just slightly below it, is experience. And when you have experienced talent, that can actually overcome supreme young talent or NBA type young talent,
depending on how far the gap
is
in the talent.
Exactly
because I can be a four-year senior in basketball, but I'm not beating Zion.
Exactly. So again, to your point, there are a variety of ways to get it done. And ultimately, yeah. teams that win championships have an identity, a style of play, a culture, good talent within that that's playing together and well at the right time to be able to win a championship. And all of these teams are indicative of that.
Clark Kellogg is our guest. This might be splitting hairs, but can you sort of, you know, differentiate the four coaching jobs and say, okay, this guy here has done the best coaching job this year.
Oh, you know
year.
What? There's so many outstanding
coaches.
I mean,
Beard was just named the AP Coach of the Year.
Yeah, deservedly so. And yeah. you could have given it to anybody in the of the other three, and there are a handful of guys outside of the Final Four.
Yeah, I would have gone Chris Beard and then Matt Painter.
Okay, Matt Painter would have been on the list, no doubt. Great. To me, coaches getting as close to the ceiling of their material is really an outstanding coaching job. And the adversity you face during the season and in games – is unique to every program, whether it's injuries or transfers or whatever else might be hovering and bubbling up around your program that you've got to deal with, not to mention 18 to 22-year-old guys that have school to deal with, girlfriends that are clamoring for time and other issues in person. So all of that stuff, man, there's so many guys that do a great job, but no complaints or issues. I don't know if I would separate these. I mean, I don't know how I would differentiate these coaches. I mean, Chris Beard, phenomenal. Tony Bennett, been great for a long time. Tom Izzo's already in the Hall of Fame. I mean, and Bruce Pearl has been outstanding. He's won everywhere he's been.
Yeah.
So, I mean, these are really outstanding coaches, and I'm happy for all of them that they get to display their acumen with teams that have earned their right to be here.
Yeah, last little point on this, and we'll get a Final Four and let you go.
Okay.
I pointed this out on Monday that, you know, I went to a Division II school that just won the national championship 2 out of 3 years.
Oh, did you? Oh, absolutely, well, that's
yes,
right.
Yes, yeah. Northwest Missouri State.
Yes. Sure, we carry that on the CBS.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, and in Louisville, we've got Bellarmine that won a national championship a few years ago. Scott Davenport. So I see those coaches, and I'm like, there's some really good coaches at Division II. And so I look at this Final Four, and I said on Monday, I'm like, we got two coaches that coached in Division II at one point. Tom Izzo was hired as an assistant coach, had never been a head coach. Mm-hmm. They hire him from being an assistant. He moves over one spot. And while Tony Bennett took Washington State to a Sweet 16, he was hired at Virginia coming off an NIT season. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it's sort of like you never really know when you're making that hire, at least from a fan's perspective. The AD certainly hopes.
Yeah.
But, like, you may be getting, like, that next great coach. You never really know where that guy's
going to
come
from. No, you can't know with
any
certainty.
It could be Division II. It could be an assistant.
Yeah.
Could be a guy that took a team to the NIT last year.
And what you have to do is be committed to what you're looking for in terms of attributes, track record, examples of success, perseverance. I mean, you've got to have a profile as you look as an athletic director, as you're looking at coaches, and don't be afraid to look beyond current head coaches sometimes. I know that's difficult because part of the profile is experience as a head coach. But it doesn't have to be at the Division I level. Like you said, Jim Tressel came from Youngstown State before he became the Ohio State football coach. He had won championships there.
Yeah.
But there was still some question in the minds of many.
O'Ryan moved up throughout the year, throughout the ranks.
So they're all – and again, really good coaches can coach at any level.
Yeah.
And I think that's proven itself, just the point you made, just what we're talking about. Really good coaches can be found – at every level.
Clark Kellogg, our guest. Final Four time for you. Four quick questions. Tell me the first thing that pops in your head. If you're ready.
Yeah.
All right. Best athlete in the Kellogg family?
Talisa, our daughter.
All right. She was a volleyball?
Okay. Yeah, volleyball.
Very good. Where did she play volleyball?
She's Georgia Tech. Played at Georgia Tech.
Very good. Best team you can remember that didn't win the NCAA tournament? Not this year, but just think it throughout
91
the years.
91
like, UNLV.
Yeah, I would lean that way. Yeah,
all right. Do you remember a player that was close to being as dominant as Zion in college basketball before Zion? Is there a name that comes to mind? It was like this.
There's
guy was
two, probably Shaq and Larry Johnson.
Oh, Larry Johnson.
Yeah. Somebody actually brought Larry Johnson up to me on a Twitter post. I hadn't thought about him, but
I hadn't thought about him either.
Yeah, but Shaq and Larry, they were both about the same time.
All right.
Those will probably be the guys. Yeah.
And who do you have on Monday night?
I'm leaning. I haven't actually etched this in dry cement.
Okay.
I'm leaning towards the Cavaliers. Yeah.
Okay.
Because I've had to rejigger. I had Gonzaga in the bracket. I did publicly.
So did I, yeah.
Yeah, I had Gonzaga. So now, obviously, I'm on television, so I have to pick from the teams that are actually playing, not the ones that I did on my initial
bracket. Stay strong with Gonzaga.
Yeah.
I don't think you'll be right, but principle. You're a principled man. I believe in you that way.
Yeah, so I'm slightly leaning. Hard as Big Ten, obviously, but I'm leaning towards what's going on with the Cavaliers. So we'll see. That could change between now and Saturday.
So now, now we got to watch and see what you pick on Saturday.
Yeah, yeah,
like, hold on. He picked UVA with us.
I'm leaning right now. This is Thursday. And again, I'm marinating on it.
No, but it's smart. And then tomorrow you pick Michigan
State. No, I won't.
Then on Saturday you take Tech.
No, I won't go that way.
75%
No, I will not do that. I will not do that.
I'm just saying, you got to hedge your bet. That's just got to make it easier for you. Clark, I really appreciate you stopping by.
Yeah, my pleasure, Jason. Good to visit with you, man.
Absolutely. Really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you.
There's Clark Kellogg joining us. As you'll watch on CBS. We'll see who he officially picks for the national champion. I have a feeling he'll stay with Virginia. I think he'll end up staying with Virginia. So we'll see what ends up happening there. All right, 267, well, that's the phone number, 437-9680. That's the text line. You'll use those tomorrow with either Drew Deaner and Locke and Andy and Maben and Rummage and Bobby V and Mark Ennis. And we'll be back tomorrow and see who all we have tomorrow as well. Our coverage continues from the Final Four Radio Row, presented by UPS Jobs, Baptist Health Sports Medicine, fueled by Kroger and delivered by Papa John's. We do have some Reds baseball coming up here tonight, so be listening in for that. Drew Deaner will be back on the air tomorrow, starting at 7 o'clock and going through, getting you ready for the weekend that is Andy and Locke and all of those guys as well. And we'll see who we have tomorrow. I know we'll have, like, Kevin Kugler, Jim Jackson, who always is a favorite and a fun guy to talk to. We'll talk with him tomorrow. Bill Walton will be walking around tomorrow, somewhat walking around tomorrow. So we'll do all that here as we'll continue our coverage from Radio Row tomorrow as well. Everybody enjoy the night right here on ESPN 680 105.7.
You are listening to The Zone Podcast. Check out Jason Anderson weekdays 3 to 6 only on ESPN 680 and ESPNLouisville.com.
UPS is now hiring package handlers in Louisville. Package handlers earn competitive wages. And with UPS's Metropolitan College program, you can graduate 100% debt-free. Get in the game with UPS. Apply now at upsjobs.com. That's upsjobs.com.